What I see very common among women is one is bloating, one is water retention. The simplest exercise I would say that would help in this condition is deep diaphragmatic breathing, right? So that helps with water retention, because when you have deep diaphragmatic breathing, really are helping that contraction will really stimulate that deep lymphatic nodes in your stomach.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Nutri Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Tan. We're here to dive into all things Eastern wellness, the herbs, the rituals, and the wisdom grandma always knew, where ancient tradition meets modern life. I'm especially excited because today's guest is none other than Karen Loke, founder and chief restoration engineer of Restoring Mums. She's a mother of three who, not long after her own third child was born, used Malaysian jamu massage therapy and abdominal binding to restore her figure, and that sparked her passion for postpartum care. We unpack the so-called mommy belly, the long-term effects of skipping postpartum care, and even the myths around waist trainers. This isn't just for new moms, it's an eye-opening conversation for every woman who wants to feel stronger, more supported, and better cared for in her body. So excited to have you here with us today.
Hello, Stephanie. It's good to see you. And, you know, I'm glad to be here as well.
Yeah. So let's go into it. Karen, you founded Restoring Mums 14 years ago. For our audience today, I'd love for you to share, what made you dedicate your life to postpartum care?
Well, when I first started 14 years ago, I just had my third baby. Right. And how I got into what I do really is because, you know, motherhood really changed my body. To me, it's like, you know, I was like totally lost, and I wasn't happy that, you know, of how I look. I basically couldn't fit back into my jeans and my clothes. And even though a lot of people told me to embrace your postpartum body, embrace, you know, now that you're a mom, but deep down, that feeling, that hurt feeling, wasn't something that I could take. You know, I got into depression. I wasn't happy with how I looked. And so after my third baby, I really went out to get my figure back, so to speak. And I did. And, you know, I did a whole lot of stuff. But what I felt helpful to me at that time was belly binding, right? So I had my hip size back, I had my waistline back, and I was quite ecstatic, right? So, and I thought if I could do this for myself, I could help a lot of moms having the same problem as I did to help them, you know, restore their figure postpartum. So the myth that, you know, once you become a mom, you know, you're not able to get your figure back, or you should embrace a new figure, is really quite a myth. And you can actually do that. So for the past 14 years, all I do really is to help mom get your confidence back by helping them to restore their figure. Yeah.
I love that. And I must say that I was also a client, and it was just so helpful because, especially at that time, right? I think you're so vulnerable and everybody's telling you that you should just embrace your mom body, and, you know, you have a newborn and you're feeling all these different things, but you also want to show up for yourself. You want to look good, right?
Yes.
And I think that there's such a balance between taking your time, really nurturing your body. It's a balance, right? It's also like not completely bouncing back, but also sort of like nourishing and restoring that back together, right?
Yeah.
And when I remember trying Restoring Mums and the whole belly binding experience, I thought, well, is it just, you know, you get bound, or is it a massage? For our listeners, can you tell us a little bit more about that whole process?
Yeah. So when I first started, was ecstatic about what belly binding could do. So I just started as that, right? Just give a simple massage and then a belly binding. And just for reference, I wasn't massage therapy. I was an engineer by training. But what I did was I really went to a lot of places to master that technique. And what I find lacking really is that massage, that postpartum massage bit. So over this 14 years, I've really tweaked the technique and how we do things. And we do achieve a lot of good results for moms. So for example, like a 10-day with us, we can achieve like a 10-centimeter reduction, right? So how we do this reduction really isn't about belly binding. I'm saying, you know, it's not primarily due to belly binding. A lot of the effects really is helping the body to nurture, helping the body to get back, so to speak. Fine about postpartum body is there's a lot of changes, right? I mean, pregnancy is that whole big month of changes. And postpartum, you know, we're talking about 6 weeks and, you know, sometimes it's beyond. But what's the difference between a mom that could bounce back, you know, literally like just within a month and two, compared to another mom who is stuck in their postpartum body for months? The difference really is in something I call and I term body stagnation. What body stagnation really is your entire body is just not moving as it should, right? We have water retention that's not coming down. We have fat stagnation that's not coming down. And our entire metabolism really is like, you know, like snailing. It just doesn't move, right? And what I find helpful in massage therapy is that it really does help your body to get into a state where you transition a mom in such a high stress state into a parasympathetic mode, right? So when your body is coming down, relaxing, and I would say slimming is just like a byproduct when your body is moving as it should. So when I say we can actually get moms down like 10 centimeters within like 10 days, I'm not really focusing on slimming, but I'm more focusing on helping their body to restore, so to speak. And I don't do nutrition. I don't do, you know, physical fitness exercise. And all we do is just a massage therapy, you know, during this time where their body is healing. And we are there helping them to improve their circulation through lymphatic drainage, helping them to block, unblock meridian stagnation, and just helping them to really, really rest and recover. And I must say that rest and restoration part is primarily what we achieve, what we want to achieve in our treatment, because I think rest is something that mom is lacking a lot, right? Deep restorative sleep is something that is, to me, the ultimate goal of our treatment. If I can put a mom in a restorative state, then half of their healing and half of their even figure restoration is done, because your body is able to let go of what it needs, right? So like in pregnancy, we put on so much on us and it's needed for a baby, right? To grow a baby. But after pregnancy, our body knows that I no longer need that amount of stuff to grow the baby. I should let it off, right? But a lot of time when it's not coming off is because of this stagnation. But if I could take off that stagnation, then the body is able to reduce and release naturally.
That makes a lot of sense. So the stagnation that you speak about, I think for those that might not be as cued into the stagnation and, you know, can you tell us about this and what is causing the stagnation?
Right. So stagnation is primarily hormonal changes, right? So we have a lot of changes during pregnancy because of the hormones that's giving instruction of how much blood we should produce, how much water we need, you know, the nutrition. And a lot of times the hormonal changes and the fluctuation is not able to balance itself postpartum. Also, I find primarily due to a lot of stress and a lot of stresses in postpartum. So when we use massage therapy as a means to help moms to restore, what we're really doing is to get them into that parasympathetic mode, to get them to really, really rest, right? So it's through our, you know, the tempo of the massage, the place that we massage, we're able to get moms to really, really rest, right? And when you're actually in this mode of restful sleep every single day, your hormone will definitely, I mean, your hormone will actually have a shift. It's just like if you sleep better, you produce more milk, right? So that's quite apparent. So it's the same thing. When you rest more, you're able to actually have a deeper restorative sleep, then your hormones are able to balance it out, right? So we know touch therapy, you know, it increases your endorphin, your serotonin, so that feel good hormones. So this is something that what I find is lacking is really that restorative sleep. So it's not just about just sleeping and amount of sleep that you have, but it's really that deep restorative sleep. For example, I have a client like 2 weeks ago. So she was wearing this Aura ring and I was asking her. So, I mean, that's a basic question that I normally ask my clients, how are you sleeping? And she was saying that, yeah, I'm sleeping fine, right? But within that 10 sessions that we actually had, you know, her Aura ring really recorded a really deep quality sleep. This is what I meant, you know, to get them into this deep quality sleep. And she's losing her water, you know, like 300-400 grams a day. And so her weight is coming down because her water is coming down. And so all this restorative takes place when we're able to get into that deep restorative sleep. Yeah. Okay. So that body stagnation is again, helping moms to manually, mechanically break down stagnation in your body. And I'm also referring to like meridian stagnation. When we massage a place and we know that this is painful, that this is a very tight area, we will actually use that massage strokes and technique to help them to unblock that stagnation. So if you're imagining a river, right? So if the river, the water is flowing and draining well, you know, your entire ecosystem is flourishing, right? Your plants, your water, your fishes, they're all flourishing. But if you have a big log that falls in between the river, you have a stagnation. Your river, your water can't move as it should, and you have a stagnation, a pool of water there where, you know, the mold will grow and, you know, your ecosystem is not flourishing. So if I remove that log, right, if I remove that stagnation, things are starting to flow again, right? And then you have an improved ecosystem. Body is similar as well, whether is it your fascia, whether is it your blood circulation, whether is it your lymphatic circulation. If it's blocked, if it's not flowing as it should, then that part is a stagnation. So for me, we do it through manual manipulation of your tissues and stuff.
And Karen, I know that you have developed this through a Jamu-based care. So can you tell us a little bit about what Jamu is, where does it come from, and how you've incorporated it into your practices? Right.
So I got a lot of inspiration through the Malay community, because I'm Malaysian, right? So I know about how they have this period called pantang, which in Chinese, right, we have a period of confinement where moms are rested, well, we take care of them, we feed them with good nutrition, we help them take care of the baby. So the Malay community also have a period of confinement for 40 days. They also have nutrition, they also have care for the mom and for the baby. One very interesting thing that they do during this confinement period is a massage care, right? A set of routine that they do for the moms. And the word jamu in the Malay language simply means herbs. So just like in TCM, we have our Chinese herbs. Malay also have their own set of herbs, right? For use for health or even for postpartum. So jamu is referencing to that herbal care that they use in postpartum. It's just that currently, I think jamu is very famous. It's popularized in Singapore. A lot of people say, oh, I want a jamu treatment. I want jamu care. But what it really is just herbal care, right? They use a lot of herbs to put on the body, to use for a scrub, to use for a vaginal steam. So jamu care really is just a term that is popularized. But the inspiration of incorporating a set of herbs in my treatment is inspired by the Malay. So for example, I have developed and formulated my own jamu oil for our massages. And the content, the ingredients of this oil is things like cinnamon, turmeric, nutmeg, all these warming herbs, because in postpartum, we need to increase our thermogenic activity, right? So all these herbs are warming. And when we use a warming herb in our massage, we naturally help the body to produce more heat. And heat is needed for healing. So jamu care really, in essence, that using of herbs to help the body to heal.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And so you talked about how the body needs herbs, like the warming herbs, right? Especially. So in your care, what do you recommend moms do? You know, what are simple things that you can do at home during your postpartum care for those to sort of, you know, complement your massages? What can they do easily?
Right. For me, because I've experienced, you know, how it is between really following that ritual of staying warm, like, you know, put on your socks, like put on your hat when you go out, like, you know, have your ginger tea and stuff like that versus not doing it. So I've got three kids, right? My first care, I had like 100% like, you know, care. And my second one, because my help didn't come. So I'm managing everything on my own. And I wasn't as religious, you know, doing that postpartum. And what I find is I really experienced this joint pain, right? And I find that I've aged so much and I had premature graying on my hair. And I find that that whole concept of keeping your body warm really has its truth in it. So to me, if you ask me to recommend, one thing that mom should do is really, really put on your socks, right? It's non-negotiable, right? Because we know that, you know, the feet, you know, is where there's a lot of nerve ending. And even for women who is not in postpartum, even like putting on like socks every single day, doing a foot soak, is able to actually stimulate so many body systems and able to change a lot of things for your body. So especially for postpartum, never have your feet cold. So that's the simplest thing that, you know, every mom can do, or even like slippers, but keep your feet warm. Yeah. So even for our massages, you know, after every massage, we have ginger on the feet and we put on socks just to warm up that part of the body.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's very simple, right? But wellness really starts from the feet.
That makes so much sense, because I think especially when my feet are cold, your whole body feels cold, right?
Yes. Because there's always this, if you massage the feet or even like the palm of your hands, right? If you feel that there's a lot of crystal-like, you know, thing on your feet, is really a lot of stagnation again. That's basically like uric acid, and that actually hinders circulation. So when we massage it and we get it moving, then, you know, you don't have cold hands and feet. But the warmth is also doing the same thing. So when your feet is not having that enough circulation, it feels cold. By having something warm over your feet, whether it's a foot soak, whether you put ginger on your feet, whether you put on socks on your feet, you're able to, in a way, help that crystals to melt in a way. So, you know, when it's moving and it's circulating, then you don't feel cold. But it also does, because feet is a reflex of a lot of body systems, right? So if your feet is doing well, it does help to improve your overall body system as well.
Yes, that's so true. You mentioned about sort of the longer term effects of not, you know, helping your body nourish during the postpartum session, right? I think that what are some of the short term, and then talk about the long term effects of what if you don't take care of your body well during sort of the 40 days or even extended past that? What are some of the things that you're seeing?
So I'll start off with my own experience, right? So as I mentioned, when I did not have a proper confinement care during the first 30 days, the very apparent thing that I realized is joint pain, right? Like arthritis, which I've never felt in my life before. So when I had that, I was like, what is this, right? I can't massage it, you know, I can't touch it, I can't do anything, right? It's just such a deep pain. I see that a lot sometimes in moms as well, who don't have that, you know, in Western moms, especially where they don't have that confinement ritual, and then they end up having a lot of joint pain, whether is it on your hands or whether is it on your knees. And I'd say the second thing that I see is premature aging, right? So I had this mentor in Malaysia. She's a Malay woman in her 70s, and she looks amazing, right? She doesn't look a single day of 70. It's not just the face. And she was telling me she doesn't do injections. She doesn't do like a lot of skincare. And she just used very, very basic skincare, but her skin is amazing, right? And she is telling me that the first step to anti-aging really is your postpartum care. So if you take care of yourself well in postpartum, it really does help a woman in terms of, again, is hormonal changes, right? It does help a woman in terms of how quickly you will age, because, you know, pregnancy, motherhood, breastfeeding takes a lot from us. So if we don't feed it back, right, if we don't nurture ourselves, then there's a whole lot of it is taken out, you know, of our system. So supplementing it, taking care of ourselves, all these are really important if we are really talking long terms, right? Not just aesthetically, but even in our body function, you know, whether is it going to menopause and whether for, you know, how we develop aches and pains. So if like, so I tell my clients a lot, so if you have like a pregnancy pain, don't allow it to come into postpartum, because a lot of that would go in like back pain if it's not resolved during that postpartum period. Sometimes it just goes into, you know, past that period, right? It goes into years into it. So I find that is something very important to address that issue when you have it. Yeah.
And so what if we didn't, you know, do you have cases where women didn't realize that they needed to really take care of their body during the postpartum care, and then only now saying, listen, I feel the joint pains, I'm feeling sort of those results? What can you do today if you're like, I didn't do the 40 days and I didn't do any of that, but I now feel the results of that? Karen, I need your help. What do you tell people today?
I feel you still can resolve it. I mean, I'm a big fan of TCM. So my advice is always go see a TCM, have it checked to see what you are deficient, because every mom is different, right? So have your body checked, know, you know, what you're lacking, what you're deficient, and then get them to recommend what you need to do, right? So if your body is in such a constituent, this is not something that you need to take, then follow it. I always believe there isn't like a dead end to it. So if you miss that period, doesn't matter, right? You need a longer time. So if you could do it in 13 days during postpartum to fix something, if you miss that window, so to speak, you always have another window. I always believe in resolution. There's always a solution if you're seeking for it. So even if it takes you 60 days or even like 90 days, you're still able to fix your body back. So, you know, don't get that hope, or rather that feeling that, oh, I missed this, right? So, and that's why I'm having this. No, I always think that, you know, you always are able to get a resolution even past postpartum.
Okay. That's a big relief, I think, for a lot of people to hear that.
Yeah. I guess a lot of times it's that mental state that, you know, we assume certain stuff. So, you know, whatever we do, we can't go beyond that mental state. So as far as, you know, we have a desire to get better, get healthier, we always have a solution. Yeah. But just keep seeking, right? So I guess every mom is different. And I always believe there's always a solution for everyone, whether it's aesthetically or whether it's, you know, our own, you know, internal health, there's always a way to fix it. Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. I think last time we sat down, we talked about the mommy belly. I think that everybody, including myself, I think when I look down on my stomach, I'm like, this is just not the same.
And
the makeup, like, I mean, I'm back to my weight, right? Pre-pregnancy, but the whole makeup. And then now I'm like, okay, I need to wear the high-waisted, you know, bikinis and things like that. What is the, tell me a little bit about, like, what do you think about the mommy belly? What is there to like help me out? And because it's not just clearly about working out and eating well. And I think that you had a lot more to talk about this. So I would love to share that with our listeners today.
Yeah. So this mommy tummy is really interesting, right? So when women talk about having a mommy tummy, the common perception is that I'm just having a lot of fats. Right. And, you know, through the experience that we have for this past more than a decade, I realized that there's a pattern in the types of tummy that we see. And I have now categorized it into, you know, something I called and I've coined a tummy system, right? A tummy shape. So there's five tummy shapes that I've actually categorized. So over this more than a decade of seeing thousands and thousands of mommy, there is a pattern of, if you know, so for example, you know, your entire tummy, if I have four quadrants, right, the top, the left, the right, and the left. So if you have something that is on the top quadrant above your navel, if you are really, you know, have this protrusion on the upper belly, that is mostly gas, all right? That's not fats, all right? So you're bloated and you feel that, you know, you just, no matter, you know, what you do, you know, with exercise, I'm just constantly bloated. And this is very, very common among moms. So bloatedness occurs on the upper quadrant of your belly, right? And if you have a really rounded tummy and you can see it at the sides, the left and the right, that is usually water retention. And we see that a lot among moms as well, where the water is just not draining, right? So they may, their hands and feet may not have water retention, but the tummy is just like a balloon, you know? So that is not fats. That's again, water retention, right? And fat stomach, right? Fat, how do you determine, right? So adipose tummy is something that you can pinch and it usually goes all the way to your lower back as well. So if your lower back has this thick layer of fats, chances are you have a belly that has quite a thick layer of fats as well, and something you can pinch at the sides, right? And the fourth one is called, I call a loose tummy, which is due to either diastasis, you know, recti, or a very loose rectus. But there's also a misconception of moms right now that, you know, oh, I have a two finger, I have a three finger, I want to get it back. But I must say there is a difference that not all moms with two finger have this size of tummy. Tummy could be perfectly flat and they have two finger separation. But another mom could also have a two finger separation and they could have a tummy that looks 3 months pregnant. So diastasis does not mean that, you know, you have zero, or rather you have like zero, I would say like a finger or two. It does not determine the size of your tummy, because you have the transverse muscle and you also have how loose your rectus, how lax your rectus is. So it's not really an accurate measurement of a tummy size, right? So, the fifth one is accommodation, which is common. So like, for example, a C-section mom, for example, they are usually very, very bloated, and bloatedness also occurs with moms that has very loose tummy, for example. So if a client comes in, so it's not just postpartum, right? So someone could be years in postpartum. We see moms like 10 years, right? 15 years in postpartum with a mummy tummy. And we will always advise what it is so that they can more accurately solve their tummy problem. So if they're very bloated, then, you know, we will first get rid of the bloat first, and the balance of it is either water, right? So the next part is we get rid of the water retention, then the balance of it is fat. So fat, you can do a lot with fats, right? You can exercise, and you can, we also do have a fat, a way we actually handle abdominal fats through our abdominal mass. So if someone who is very fit, right, they go to the gym a lot, but they find that, you know, no matter what I do, I still can't get rid of my tummy, chances are they may be very bloated and they may have a lot of water retention. So that has got to go before you target the fat system.
And the water retention part is really through the massage, right? And the warming of the herbs. Okay.
Yes. So after like a single massage, you know, a tummy could be a size like a 3 months pregnant, you know, size. And after a massage therapy, you know, once we drain it, it could be perfectly flat, for example. Or if you have fats, then, you know, you do have how, you know, that protrusion or fat protrusion, but that is a very quick relief with massage therapy, because we are really engaging the deep lymphatics, not just the surface lymphatic. So it could be a very, very effective way to relieve that abdominal water retention through massage therapy. I mean, you can do it through a lot of diuretic, you know, supplementation, fitness, but I do find that the quickest way to relieve bloat and water retention is through massage therapy. Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in sort of these Eastern practices, we talk a lot about it takes time, right? It's a balance between you need to invest, right? And see that sort of long-term effects. How do you see that imbalance and, you know, sort of in opposition to something like the weight trainers that you see all over the internet, and celebrities like the Kardashians are wearing the different like weight trainers that they say work in however many weeks or months? What's the difference? What do you think about that whole trend? Is that actually good for you, or is that similar? Yeah, I would just love your thoughts on that.
I don't believe in weight trainers. I think they work, right? They really accentuate your waistline, but it's very, very harmful. So I have this coaching call with someone in the US, and I was very surprised when they told me that, you know, they see a lot of moms in their 30s going for surgery to correct their prolapse condition. And that is very alarming, right? Because in traditional Malay care, why they do belly binding? So contrary to the name belly binding, it's not really just wrapping, you know, the midsection, the torso. It's really about pelvic support and lumbar support. So traditionally, you know, a lot of care is put into preventing prolapse, because women, you know, in the 15th century, they do a lot of farming, right? They have like a dozen of kids, and after they have their babies, they put their babies carrier and they go to the farm and work. But if you take a look at the studies, right, there is not many cases of prolapse, even during that day where they do heavy work. And a lot of Malays attribute this to the binding that they do in postpartum, because you're giving that your pelvis a support, you know, that external support that helps your pelvic to heal. And when you know that when your pelvic heals, your spine is also corrected or supported. So a lot of care is in there. So it's not just about binding the belly. But I guess right now in the modern society, a lot of people are very concerned about how the tummy looks and the waistline look. And what they do with corsets and binders is, I just want to flatten my belly. Not wrong, but if we are only creating a pressure on your midsection, right? So your entire belly, you know, is like a big balloon, right? So if you compress it in the middle, you have that pressure going up and down. And what is harmful if that downward pressure is pressing onto your pelvic floor, into your pelvic organs, things are going to prolapse. Right. So waist trainers, when a mom is doing waist training too early in postpartum, there is a chance of creating that downward pressure on your perineum and causing your pelvic floor not to heal properly. And, you know, it may lead to prolapses later on in life. So very interestingly, if you study the Malays, they have very low cases of prolapses compared to the Western world. I would say waist trainers, yes and no, but definitely not during the postpartum period where your pelvic floor is still healing and you need that pelvic support more than, you know, a tummy support. So when we do abdominal binding or more, you know, more known as belly binding, we are always having a pelvic support first, right? Mm-hmm. And then it goes up, has a lifting effect rather than something that is pressing onto their pelvic floor. So waist trainers, yes and no. So even if someone is not in postpartum, right, and you're doing waist training, if it's something that's overly tight, truly, that waistline, you know, so I've got photos in my courses showing how your organs are displaced when you have such a deep, strong pressure on just your core. Right. So it deplays up and down. But what is harmful is the downward part, you know, your pelvic floor part. And prolapses is something that is rarely talked about, you know, especially in Asian society. So even if you have a prolapse, even if you have incontinence, it's not something that women are willing to, you know, talk about it outright. But it is something very, very harmful. Prolapses usually happens after your 40s. So if you have your kids in the 30s or 20s, you will notice a difference. But once you get into later stage in life, then you realize that, you know, things like that are starting to happen. And that's when people realize that, you know, what should I do right now? Which at that part could be a bit too late to rectify.
I guess I never thought about that. And you're right. We really don't talk mm-hmm. about that. Yeah. So yeah. What would you do actually if that's some of the side effects that you would have, right? Mm-hmm. When women do reach sort of their 40s and their 50s, mm-hmm. do you mm-hmm. see cases? And what do you do?
For me, yes, we do have like moms like having their second child or their third child coming to us and tell us that I have incontinence problem. Can I do binding? The way we do it is really through massage therapy and abdominal binding. And I do see improvement in the situation. We have one of the really apparent result that we see is this mom. She had three kids and she had training sessions with us. And by the third week, she was telling us that my condition actually has improved. We never have any pelvic manual manipulation, right? We just do bodily massage. But when we do a correct abdominal binding, it's supporting the pelvis. And another way is also helping the pelvic floor to heal. And she was mentioning that by the 15 sessions, her incontinence actually stopped. So, you know, where we have normally two breaks, right? Every 5 sessions, that's a 2 days break. And that 2 days, she was not wearing any abdominal binding at all. And she realized that when she goes up, she has no leakage, right? So just giving that the right support to your pelvis really is a big role in helping a woman correct, not I wouldn't say correct, but, you know, in supporting that situation, right? And sure. Just recently, we also have a client, she gave birth in the US and she was wearing this abdominal binder in the hospital that the hospital was giving her, right? When she came back, she was telling us that, you know, I have this incontinence problem and this is only her first child. Right. And when she did our abdominal binding and she was telling me, oh, this feels exactly totally different. Right. And she felt really supported rather than just having the tummy binded. Right. And that also helped support her condition. So even if we are not stimulating the pelvic floor by giving your pelvis a good support, right, that is a good modality to support the healing of your pelvic floor. Already. So if someone is having this problem, depending on the degree of prolapse, so if you have a third degree or fourth degree, then, you know, you have to go see a doctor. But if it's a very mild thing, then I would say having a pelvic support would help on your daily activities. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. So interesting. So for moms like ourselves or, you know, feel that sometimes you feel like there's like a bit of bloating, maybe a combination of belly, mommy belly, and maybe you went on vacation and, you know, have some minor bloating. Do you have a tip that we can do at home, maybe in the morning or at night? What is a simple tip that we can do at home for ourselves?
I find, like, for example, bloating, I find an abdominal massage would help. But if it's not, because not many people like to do self-care, normally massages, you know, it takes at least like 5 minutes. So I would say what I see very common among women is one is bloating, one is water retention. The simplest exercise I would say that would help in this condition is deep diaphragmatic breathing, right? So that helps with water retention, because when you have deep diaphragmatic breathing, you really are helping that contraction will really stimulate that deep lymphatic nodes in your stomach. So all this deep lymphatic nodes is like almost towards your spine, right? So when we do massage, it's a very deep visceral massage. But if you don't have that kind of a massage, what you can do is do deep diaphragmatic, you know, breathing every day in the morning and at night. You know, just by stimulating that, you're helping your water to drain, right? And that helps with your tummy condition. It can actually become flatter. The second thing that I would advise is to get your system moving. So if you feel really sluggish, is do a foot soak. As much as possible, do a half body soak, right? So if you have a bathtub, you just need to, you know, have your water cover up to your belly. Sit in it until you break a sweat. So that would stimulate your circulation. So by just doing that with no diet change, you realize that your weight could actually come down, right? So your body could burn fat and you're actually losing your water retention. And it's something that I do sometimes when I have the time, right? So every time when I travel, I realize that, you know, I have this really bad water retention problem where I really puff up. So what I do is I'll just go to the hotel, go to the bathtub, and I'll just get my Epsom salt and I'll just soak until, you know, I break a sweat. And I do that every single day as much as I can. So that helps my water retention to drain. Yeah. So this two exercises, these two tips, I find it's something that's doable. And it's also a self-care tip. And you can do it every single day. It's not just when you have this condition, but it's really a good health care tip that we can adopt, you know, as, yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'll definitely be doing that tonight. And Karen, thank you so much for, you know, sharing all your tips and secrets and your journey with us. For our listeners today, how do they find you?
So I'm starting my own Instagram page right now where, you know, I'm sharing all these tips on belly binding and wellness tips. So you can find me on my Instagram at Karen Loke, KarenLoke. And I also do have a page where I am teaching and coaching belly binding as well. So, you know, I find that our reach in Hong Kong is something that is only within this region, but I find that what we do can benefit a whole lot of other moms. So I would hope to enrich more practitioners and more people that is in belly binding to give them more tools, more knowledge, you know, into doing this correctly. So they can also find me in my academy page as Restoring Moms Academy. So you probably have this in the caption later.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Nutri Podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love your support. Leave us a rating, drop us a review, or share it with someone who'd enjoy it too. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode.